Well, hello everyone. This is our first get together of a brand new year. So whether you're joining us online or in person, we're really glad you decided to kick off the new year with us. A couple of things. First of all, if you're a guest, I think you picked a really great place to start 2021. Second of all, if you're a guest, My name is Keith. I'm one of the pastors here, and we really are glad that you're here. We hope you enjoy this service, but our highest hope is actually always that you would experience God's presence when you're here with us at the Vineyard. So obviously, we just started a new year, right? Peace out, 2020. Amen. We have also just recently celebrated the birth of Jesus just a little over a week ago on Christmas. But that is not all that we have celebrated together recently as a church family. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated water baptisms. People going public with their decision to follow Jesus. It's like a snapshot of a life that's being transformed by Jesus. So check this out.
Nothing can take my hallelujah. Nothing can take my hallelujah. Shadows will fade. Darkness will break. I'll keep on singing your praise. Nothing can take my hallelujah. Nothing can take my hallelujah. Shadows will fade. Darkness will break. I'll keep on singing your praise. Oh.
I gotta tell you, those videos always make me smile. We have been celebrating water baptisms as a church family every month now since October, and we're gonna do it again in a couple of weeks on the weekend of January 16th and 17th. So listen, if you have recently decided to follow Jesus, this is your next step. If you've been following Jesus for a while, but for whatever reason you haven't gotten water baptized yet, this is your next step. You need to take a class. We have a class online on our website, vineyardnorthphoenix.com, so that you can understand what the Bible teaches about water baptism. The class only takes about 20 to 25 minutes, and then after you finish the class, you can sign up to be water baptized, and then we as a church family can celebrate you in a couple of weeks, okay? I want to thank those of you who give regularly to God through Vineyard Church North Phoenix. You know, in spite of all of the difficulties that the past year has presented to us, we have been able as a church family to continue to be a positive force in our community. You know, throughout various restrictions and limitations, one of the things that never stopped is our compassion ministry. And in fact, we were actually able to open our food bank for an additional day each week this year during lockdown. So it's now open 7 days a week, and we're able to do that because you're so faithful with your giving as a church family. Thank you for giving regularly. There are a lot of ways that you can do that, either in person or online. But let's pause together for a moment and pray for the offering and for the teaching today. Father God, we love you. We worship you, and we thank you for all of the things that we can celebrate together. God, we thank you for using our church to make a difference in our community. And Father, I pray that when we give, that you would continue to use that money for your work, for your kingdom in our community and all around the world. Father, I pray you would bless those who give faithfully. And God, I ask that you would speak to us today. Father, I pray that you would anoint me with the gift of teaching, that as we study your word together, the Bible, God, that you would teach us, that you would be the teacher, not me, but you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, what a year, right? I kind of feel like the past 9 months have been the longest decade of my life. I mean, when we started off a new decade, I wasn't expecting to do it all in 1 year. But check this out. I have some really good news for you. We didn't actually start a new decade in 2020. We didn't. See, the modern calendar that most of the world uses, which is technically called the Gregorian calendar, after Pope Gregory the 13th, in that calendar, there is no year zero. See, Gregory wanted to try to calculate the year that Jesus was born, and he got really close. But more recent scholarship suggests that he was actually off by several years. But he wanted to calculate that to divide history into two time periods, an era of time that was before the birth of Christ, or BC, before Christ, and an era of time that was after the birth of Christ. AD stands for Anno Domini. It's a medieval Latin phrase for in the year of our Lord, or the year of our Lord. So an era of time before our Lord Jesus Christ was born, and an era of time after he was born. So when we look at that calendar as a whole, there is a year that's called 1 BC, or 1 year before Jesus was born. And the following year is called the year of our Lord 1, or AD 1. There's no zero in between. So that means that the first decade and the first century and the first millennium all began in AD 1. And the first decade, the first 10 years, ended at the end of AD 10. The second decade began in AD 11. And the first century AD ended at the end of AD 100, because that was the 100th year after the first year being AD 1. And so the second century started at the beginning of AD 101. So fast forward, and that means that we have only just a few days ago started the third decade of the 21st century. We have only just begun the third decade of the third millennium. So now is our actual chance to get a new decade off on the right foot, right? Are you with me? Let's do this, right? Okay. You know, if 2020 has taught us anything, it has confirmed something that God said way back in the beginning. Genesis 2:18, then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." It's not good for any of us to be alone. You see, when God created everything that there is now from the nothing that there was, he said it was good. Light from darkness, good. Dry ground and seas and oceans, good. Plants, good. Stars, the sun, the moon, good. Fish, birds, good. Animals, good. And then finally, human beings, made in God's own image. And for the first time, God says that something is not good. Not the human being, but the fact that that first human, who he called man, or in the Hebrew, Adam or Adam, the fact that that first human was alone. So God makes another human, because humans need other humans. A person needs other people. If we fast forward to the time of Jesus, when Jesus begins his ministry, he starts by inviting other people to join him on his mission. He invites these people to follow him. And in fact, when he sends some of those people off to other parts of Judea to take the message of God's kingdom, he doesn't send them off alone. He sends them in pairs. See, from the beginning, community was God's plan to change the world. God created Eve to have a human-to-human relationship with Adam, something that the rest of creation was incapable of doing. Something that even God himself wouldn't fulfill. He identified in Adam a need for community with other people. When Jesus began his ministry, his first step was to establish community. And throughout his entire ministry, he modeled and taught about life in this new kind of community. In fact, on the very last night of his life, he prayed for the oneness of this community. He said that the credibility of his whole ministry rested on the oneness of that community. John 17, Jesus says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, I pray that they may be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. And then before he ascended into heaven, his final words to his community were essentially, extend my community. We see this in Matthew 28. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is saying to them, you go do what we did. What I did with you, you go and do that with others all over the world. People who don't live in the same area as you. People who don't speak the same language as you. People who don't look like you. He's saying, take the idea of this community we've made and create more communities like it. Why does living in community matter? Because Jesus is uniquely present in his community. Now, Jesus is always present. Every place, every moment. But he is present within his community in a special way. There is something that happens when more than one believer gathers together. That's why he said, for where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. This is something unique that happens when people who love Jesus get together. It's hard to explain it. I mean, it's just, it's Jesus there in the middle of it. It's hard to describe it. Honestly, it's a mystery. You just have to experience it. You know, this happens when we're in the same room here together on campus. This happens when we gather online at the same time. This happens when we gather in someone's home. This happens when we all log in to the same Zoom meeting together. You know, I never could have imagined at this time last year how much I would look forward to seeing the faces of other people that I knew, other people who also love Jesus, live on a computer screen. Man, I really looked forward to it. And I really missed it when I wasn't there. Allison and I, my wife and I, when we logged into that first virtual small group meeting, when we saw those other faces log in, and there was a peace that I couldn't explain. I felt a peace that I was missing up until that moment. That was Jesus. That was Jesus there with us, among us, logged into the middle of that same video chat gathering with us. You know, December 2019, Keith, he would have thought that sounded really weird. But post-2020, Keith knows way better. I love the way Dallas Willard puts it. He said, personalities united can contain more of God and sustain the force of his presence much better than scattered individuals. Why does living in community matter? Because Jesus is uniquely present in his community. And community prevents spiritual drift in our lives. Let me tell you what I mean. I have been part of some kind of small group for most of the past 20 plus years of my life, most of my adult life. You know, part of these communities, being a part of these communities, has kept me spiritually centered, has kept me growing in my relationship with Jesus, has kept me growing as a father, has kept me growing as a husband, has taught me more than anything else in my life. Being a part of these small groups has allowed me to share deep personal struggles, worries, concerns in my life with people whom I knew I could trust because we had cultivated good, trusting relationships. The book of Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. The book of Hebrews says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever cooked using a charcoal grill? Okay, if you have, you know that the charcoal briquettes, that they're constructed in such a way that when you put them together, the fire glows. And they get really, really hot. But if you take one of those briquettes away and you put it off to the side by itself, it cools off really fast. It loses its heat. And when it loses its heat, it can't do what it was made to do. But when these briquettes stick together, then there's heat, and they feed off of each other, and they actually help each other get hot, and they help each other stay hot. But when they get isolated, they just start to cool off. That's the way it is with us too. When the briquettes are together, they keep each other going. When Christians are together, we keep each other going. When one briquette is isolated and off by itself, it cools off and will eventually go out completely. When we are isolated, we cool off. And eventually, that fire for Jesus inside of us can also go out completely. Why does living in community matter? Because Jesus is uniquely present in his community, because community prevents spiritual drift in our lives, and community shows us the healing power of being known and loved. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that Adam and Eve, the first human beings, were naked and not ashamed, at least at first. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that as some kind of fashion statement. I guess it would actually be more of an anti-fashion statement, but you get it. The reason the Bible tells us this, the reason that this matters, is because they had no secrets. They had no secrets from God. They had no secrets from each other. Everything about them was completely out in the open, completely revealed, and yet they had no shame. They were loved by God, by each other. They had nothing to hide. And then something changed. Because God had given them one rule to obey. And they broke that rule. And in breaking that rule, they presumed to know better than their Creator. And so, in that moment, they themselves replaced God in their own minds. And for the first time, they experienced shame. They experience fear, and they hide from the one that they had never hidden from before. Adam says to God, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. And we human beings have been hiding ever since. Some of you are hiding right now. Some of you here in this room right now are hiding. Some of you online right now are hiding. You attend every week. Maybe if you're an in-person attender, you couldn't wait for us to reopen for in-person services, and you haven't missed a week, but you're hiding. Nobody knows you. You do church online, and you're super regular about it, but you're hiding. And no, I don't mean that you don't participate in the chat. Not everybody likes the chat. That's okay. In fact, I think some of you who participate really regularly in the chat are actually hiding. Nobody knows you. You don't want them to know you. You're ashamed or you're afraid. There are people who come here all the time, in person or online, who are dying inside. Nobody knows what they're afraid of. Nobody knows what they dream about. Nobody knows what they're addicted to. Nobody knows what they hope for. And this is not just single people. Couples do this too. In fact, couples can be the worst because they can hide together. That's not Jesus' plan for his community. And what so often happens is when nobody knows what's going on in someone else's life, they eventually go through some kind of difficulty. Their marriage ends. Somebody has an affair. A child runs away from home. They go through some kind of financial crisis. And sometimes gradually, and sometimes suddenly, they end up stopping coming to church altogether. God wants you to know the healing power of being known and loved. But that will only happen when you make the choice to begin living in community with other people. And listen, I know that that in and of itself can be very scary. I'm an introvert. You don't believe me. I'm an introvert. Trust me. I love meeting people. I love being able to teach, but it's not what recharges me. What recharges me is being alone or being in solitude or being in a small, close group of people. That's what recharges me. As an introvert, my wife, Allison, is also an introvert. We knew we needed to join a small group. We did not want to join a small group. Why would two people who don't want to go and be exposed to other people go to some stranger's house on their own willingly? That's crazy talk, right? Introverts, you feel me? But we knew we had to. We knew there was something missing in our lives that we couldn't get just the two of us on our own. And so we decided out of an act of obedience to Jesus that we needed to join a small group. So we did the hard thing and we went to somebody's house, somebody that we didn't know. And listen, we got really, really lucky. The very first small group we tried was the perfect group for us. We just lucked out in that way. God was good to us in that way. It doesn't always work that way, believe me. And we've never looked back. We have, as best as we could, been a part of a small group in some way or led a small group in some way ever since then, and that was 16 years ago. And in fact, those first small group leaders of ours, they've moved to another state, several new states since then, but we still have deep, lifelong relationship with them that changed us being a part of that small group. Why does living in community matter? Because Jesus is uniquely present in his community, because community prevents spiritual drift in our lives, because community shows us the healing power of being known and loved, and community is where we learn to love like Jesus loved. Jesus commanded us to love each other. Look at John 13. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Those of us who follow Jesus, we are the legacy of his mission. And we are the legacy of this commandment to his first followers, his first small group. The whole credibility of the mission of Jesus rests on our ability to love each other the way Jesus loves us. Other people knowing that I am a follower of Jesus has nothing to do with how smart I am. Other people knowing that I am a follower of Jesus has nothing to do with how good looking I am. That's a good thing. It has nothing to do with how much money I earn or what I own or what I build. It has nothing to do with how talented I am. It has nothing to do with how much of the Bible I have or haven't read. It has nothing to do with how many verses I have memorized. Other people knowing that I am a follower of Jesus, that you are a follower of Jesus, has everything to do with how well we love each other. Jesus says, so I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. I love that the fact that this moment between Jesus and his disciples, it's at the end of their 3 years together. This is right before Jesus is going to be arrested and tried and killed. They have spent 3 years together doing the stuff of ministry, doing the stuff of God's kingdom, and Jesus still feels the need to give this command of loving each other over and over. In fact, this isn't even the last time that he's going to say it on this very same night. Why? Because they haven't mastered it yet. Their small group, their little community, still struggles with loving each other. This shows us something really important. This weekend here at the Vineyard, this is our small group fair weekend. We do this a few times a year to encourage everyone to become part of a small group. Listen, if you haven't figured out by now that that's what I've been trying to do for the last 20 minutes or so, surprise, I'm trying to convince you to join a small group here at the Vineyard. So you may rightly wonder, if I get into a small group, can I expect effortless, rich, encouraging, problem-free community for the rest of my life? Absolutely. No. Absolutely no. Probably not. Community is never easy. Henry Nouwen says this, community is the place where the person I least want to be there is always there. One of the striking things about Jesus in this regard is that he didn't work very hard to make sure he put together a small group of people who were naturally compatible with each other. Mark chapter 3 gives us a list of the people who were in Jesus' small group. One of them was a man named Simon the Zealot. Now, zealots were an extremist, nationalist political party committed to the overthrow of the Roman government by any means possible. They would use violence. They would even conduct assassinations at times. Zealots were either freedom fighters or terrorists, depending upon your political point of view. They hated the Romans. But the only people they hated more than the Romans were people who collaborated with the Romans. People like tax collectors. Tax collectors or publicans were Jewish people who collaborated with the Roman government for their own financial gain. So Jesus is forming a small group and he says, Simon, you're a zealot. You despise Romans and you despise collaborators like tax collectors. I'll take you. And then he says, Matthew, you're a collaborator and a despised tax collector. I'll take you too. Have you met Simon? It's so easy for us, looking back, to romanticize our view of Jesus' disciples. How about Peter, Andrew, James, and John? They were fishermen. They probably didn't smell very good. Just some working class guys hanging out with a high-end government contractor like Matthew. That's normal, right? The thing is, these first 12, they wouldn't have run together in the same social circles on their own. The reason they were there is because Jesus invited them to be a part of his small group. Jesus puts these people together and they have all kinds of differences. They have all kinds of problems with each other. You know, James and John at one point, they come to Jesus with their mom. They get their mom involved. They come to Jesus with their mom and she says to them, you know, Jesus, after this is all over, how about my boys be the ones that sit on your right and on your left? So James and John are telling Jesus through their mother, like not even directly, they're telling Jesus, you know, the one who is always talking about servanthood, about dying to yourself, about the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So they're saying to Jesus, hey, you know what? We should be in an elevated position above everyone else. Well, of course, when the others find out about this, they're understandably upset. Living in community is not easy. If you get into a community, I guarantee you it will not be easy. There will be difficult people around you. Actually, if you get into a small group and there are no difficult people in that group, please let us know. We'll assign some extra difficult people for that small group. Every small group needs them. And you know what? You are probably somebody else's difficult person. You know, Simon, he didn't think he was a difficult person. Matthew, he didn't think he was a difficult person. But that other guy. Jesus did not come to create a community for perfect people who all have natural chemistry with each other. What made Jesus' community explode? What made Jesus' community have staying power even to this day was this. Spirit-empowered determination of those within the community to lavish love on anybody who could possibly stand it. Let me say that again. Spirit-empowered empowered determination of those within the community to lavish love on anybody who could possibly stand it. You cannot overestimate the hunger of another human being to be loved. Marianne Bird was born in 1928 in Brooklyn. She was born with a cleft palate and as a result had a misshaped mouth and teeth. She was mostly deaf in one ear. She wrote in an article for Guidepost Magazine that she, quote, was convinced that no one outside my family could love me, end quote. But all of that changed because of the influence of one person in her life. Bird describes her second grade teacher, Mrs. Leonard, as round and pretty and fragrant with shining brown hair and warm, dark, smiling eyes. She writes, "The time came for the annual hearing tests given at our school. I could barely hear out of one ear and was not about to reveal something else that would single me out as different. So I cheated. The whisper test required each child to go to the classroom door, turn sideways, close one ear with a finger while the teacher whispered something from her desk, which the child repeated. Then the same for the other ear. Now nobody checked how tightly the untested ear was covered, so I merely pretended to block mine. As usual, I was last, but all through the testing, I wondered what Mrs. Leonard might say to me. I knew from previous years that the teacher whispered things like, 'The sky is blue,' or 'Do you have new shoes?' My time came. I turned my bad ear toward her, plugging up the other just enough to be able to hear. I waited. And then came the words that God had surely put into her mouth. 7 words that changed my life forever. Mrs. Leonard, the teacher I adored, said softly, 'I wish you were my little girl.' What blew people away about Jesus? What wrecked their worlds to such an extent that they could never recover was that he walked around saying, 'I wish you were mine. I choose you. I choose you. I want you to be mine.' Then he started a little community. And his idea was for that whisper to spread. What if everyone who walked through those doors, what if everyone who logged into an online service were to hear somebody whisper, 'I choose you. I'd like you to be a part of my little community. Would you be a part of my small group?' What if this place could be a place where no one stands alone, where nobody hides, where nobody drifts spiritually? And then what if people in those little communities received a vision from God for what he wanted them to do beyond their walls, beyond their screens, and that whisper started to spread to people in places who didn't expect it? It could happen. I want to challenge each and every one of you to get into a small group this season. We have lots of different types of groups to choose from. We have groups that meet in person. We have groups that meet online. We have groups that do both. We have groups for anyone. We have groups for people in specific stages of life. We have groups for recovery. We have groups for special interests. And listen, it's probably going to take some effort. The first group you try might not be the right fit. That's okay. Try again. The second one you try might not be the right fit. That's okay. Try again. Keep trying until you find the right fit. Maybe you're here and you've been really unconnected relationally. Maybe you're drifting spiritually. I guarantee you, if you get into a small group and you stick with it, you will see your life change in ways that you could never imagine and you'll never look back. Now, you can always find the most up-to-date information about small groups on our website at vineyardnorthphoenix.com. But listen, if you're here in person, stop by the Information Center out in the lobby. Pastor Mario's out there and some of our small group leaders are out there. They would be happy to help you find a group or two to try out. If you're online, we have put a link in the chat to our website to help connect you to a small group. But listen, if you need a little more help, just let us know. We'd be happy to connect with you and help you find a group or two to try out. Could I go ahead and ask the ministry team to start making your way down to the front? There is a specific group of people that I believe God wants to minister to today. There are some of you here in the room or online who feel unloved. You feel that no one would choose you. I believe that God wants to begin healing that today. So first of all, you need to know that God loves you. You need to be reminded that God loves you. God loves you incredibly. He is absolutely crazy about you. Second, you need to know we love you. Your church family loves you. And we probably don't even know how you feel. So if that's you, first, I want you to get some prayer. So if you're here in person, please come see someone on our ministry team to pray for you. If you're online, click on the prayer button so that one of our online hosts can connect with you and they will pray with you there online. Second, if you're not in a small group, then that's your next step. Get in a group. It might not be easy to find one, but I challenge you to do the work to find one. Could I ask you to stand if you're able here in the room? And let's just all go into a spirit of prayer. I'd like to close the service by praying over you, praying for you. Father God, we love you. And I ask, Holy Spirit, for your healing to begin. God, for those who need to know they are loved, God, that you would remind them that you love them. If they've never known that, God, reveal that to them now through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you love them. God, pour out your healing in the name of Jesus. And God, as we begin 2021, let us take the lessons from 2020 and move forward. God, lead us. Show us the way. Help us get connected. And God, I pray for those who need that little push to get into a small group. They're just afraid to take that first step. God, give them that push by the power of the Holy Spirit to go to the info center, to click on the website, to connect with somebody that can help them find a small group to get started. And then God, meet them there. God, I pray for everyone gathered together today here in person and online. I pray your blessings and your presence over them. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for starting off 2021 on the right foot together. We'll see you next week.